Blog Talk Radio.
In English, what's the hardest thing to say?
For me, probably sixth. Like fourth, fifth, and then sixth?
Anything with a TH?
They threw three big things.
That was really good.
Thank you.
The word vegetable. Vegetable.
Caesars.
And Caesar.
Oh, did you mean hard to say emotionally?
I do. I mean emotionally.
Oh.
I was wrong.
A real tough one to say. I'm sorry.
I forgive you.
Goodbye.
For me, it's saying I love you. But that's tough to say in any language.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, Abba Yah, and thank you for your son, Yahushua. Thank you for the life that you have given us all this day, Father. Thank you for health. Thank you for a sound mind, Father, a sound body, Father, and showing mercy unto us, Yahweh. Father, I ask that you look upon all my brothers and sisters who are in any sort of situation where they may be suffering mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Father, that you give them the strength they need. Father, as in your word, your son said, give us this day our daily bread. So we just ask you now, Father, to give us what is sufficient for us to have for today. Father, I ask that you forgive me for my sins, Abba Yah, those that I have committed against you, Father, knowingly and deliberately, Father, for my eyes that wander, that my ears that listen to improper speech, for my tongue sometimes, Father, that says things that it shouldn't say, Father, and for sometimes the evil thoughts that I have within my mind, Father, I ask that you forgive me for those things, Father, and purge me with hyssop, Father, so I may be clean, Father. And I just ask now that your spirit be among us again as we continue into our journey into this Sabbath day. Father, we thank you for the words that were spoken last night through your servant, Yara El. Father, it's always amazing, Father, to see how you work, Father, within your word and how you lead and you guide us, Father, as the word says, fire by night, cloud by day, Father. You are always leading. You are always guiding, Father. You are always showing mercy unto us, Father. And I just ask now, Father, that your continued loving kindness and mercy still be present among us this day, Father, and that you fill us up, Father, with your word, Father, so that we can bring forth whatever message you have for your sheep, for your children, for your flock, Father. But he asks you to look after our Zarkanes and our Zarkana, our Ema, our Zarkanas, our Ema, and all the children, Father, within the universal house of Yahweh, as well as this little house, this humble house of Beth Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland, USA, Father. Just ask you now, Father, in the name of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, to continue to lead and guide us and to continue to keep shining upon us and to continue, Father, to hedge us up, Father, and to continue to keep showing us the love, Father, sometimes that we are not deserving of. In the name of your son, Rebbe Malek, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Hallelujah. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. 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 Shabbat Shalom, Mishabakah. Once again, we're back together for another 6-week journey through the word of our Heavenly Father and through his son, Yahushua HaMashiach. I pray that all is well with everyone, that everyone enjoy the Sabbath so far. Just ask, Father, that anybody who is held down by anything, Father, again, whether it be emotionally, whether it be mentally, whether it be spiritually, whether it be physically, Father, that you help them release those bonds on this beautiful Shabbat day. I know it's overcast. I know it's cloudy. I know it's windy. I know it's not the perfect weather. But guess what? You who are alive, give honor, Abba Yah, today. And as we say, let all that have breath praise Yah. Give him the praises that he is deserving of. You know, the warrior king said, I will call upon Yahweh, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved. And in his name and in praise to him is salvation. But you got to believe. You got to utilize that power that he has given unto you. I believe my brother stated something to that effect last night. No, the first part of healing is taking time to heal yourself. You cannot do anything for others. We are in a situation, right? And if you've ever flown on a plane, right, they go through before you take off And I'm not sure with the, you know, last events that have taken place or the events that took place within this last week, how eager I am to fly in the near future. I am not someone who enjoys flying at all. I appreciate the speed of it, but as far as me being secure up 5 miles in the air, I will never feel at ease 5 miles in the air because we ain't supposed to be there. But it's a fast means of travel, so, you know, I do appreciate that about it. But one of the things the stewardess tell you, when you're about to take off and you hear them engines revving, they get louder and louder, and you hear the captain going through his things. He's doing the flaps and making sure everything is in working order before we take off. You know, you hear the signals and all that, and the stewardess comes through, and they give you the rundown, the talk. If there is an emergency situation that takes place and those oxygen masks drop out from above your head, the first thing you should do, whether you have a child next to you, your loved one next to you, is slap that bad boy over your face so that you can get the oxygen that you need in order to survive. Then help others, because up at that height where mankind is not supposed to be, there is not any oxygen to sustain life. So if you don't get yourself enough O2 within a significant and quick amount of time, you are done for and you are no good to anybody else. So the first thing you do is bow, put that boy over your face, make sure you can breathe in some oxygen. Then if you see anybody else next to you that is in distress, whether it be your child, whether it be your significant other or somebody you may be traveling with, then you assist them. And as was stated last night, first healing that has to take place is within yourself. If you are trying to better yourself, the first thing you have to start is not with external sources in the sense of looking at changing others, but as we were always told back in the day by Gershom and Daniel, start with the man in the mirror, start with the person in the mirror, start with the person that you live with every day, 24 hours a day, you sleep with, you walk with, if you like me, have conversations with yourself. That's where it has to start. The healing has to start with yourself. So, and that's part of what today's lesson is going to be about, because I had a conversation with my brother Daywell last week prior to his lesson. And matter of fact, it was Shabbat. I forgot exactly when it was. Nevertheless, we had a conversation. And in the conversation, you know, he was sharing with some things with me that were, I guess, posted on the line. And unfortunately, I don't always get the messages that come forth on the line. But something to the effect of us being somewhat distant from one another and not as close as we used to be. And you know, there's some truth to that, you know, to be honest. You know, but the question is, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, I like to look for in situations is always, you know, the solution. What is the solution, you know, to the problem? Because, you know, just like any other relationship, sorry for the noise, just like any other relationship, there are going to be ebbs and flows. There are going to be times when you're closer. There are going to be times when you're not as close. If you've been married at any point in your life, you know what takes place. There are times when you and your spouse are bosom buddies. Then there may be times when you and your spouse are not so friendly with one another. You know, there may be times when you're very distant from one another in a relationship. But at the end of the day, if you truly love one another, and I mean truly love one another, you will always find a path back to being close again. Find a path to being unified again. You know, I was once told by a friend, the opposite of love is indifference. You know, when you stop caring, when you stop being concerned, when you stop wanting to heal the wounds that were made within the relationship. One of my favorite songs with Sade's song, War of the Hearts. And it is like the epitome of every relationship that you go through, you know, where you use your anger and your upsetness towards another person as a weapon, you know, a weapon to destroy them, you know. And one of the things she illustrates in the song is, I could aim, you know, she was liking her anger to a gun. I could aim, but I couldn't fire. I had a bullet to spare to kill my desire, you know. And, you know, at one point she says, you know, one of us must make the peace, you know, to have or to have not. The fire that we have, the fire, the shots we're taking at one another, it's got to cease, you know. But, you know, the hook to the song, a lot of the, it's a war of the hearts, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, in any relationship that you have, whether it's a friend that you love, whether it's, you know, your child, you know, whether it's, you know, a relative, you know, at some point, my mother always had this attitude, you know, this saying, she always had these pithy maxims from, you know, from back in the island of Jamaica, you know. She said, tongue and cheek must meet, you know. But they can't separate themselves completely from one another. You know, it's the truth, though. Sometimes you're going to bite your tongue. Sometimes you're going to bite your cheek. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to cause pain, and it's going to take time to heal. Just like if you have a canker sore, right? You get one of them sores, and it is devastating. You know, my son had one not too long ago, and it made him cry. He's like, it hurts so much. And it was like, son, you just got to give it an opportunity to heal. Sure, we'll put something on it, you know, to help, you know, lessen the pain, but it just has to heal, son, you know. And sometimes he would, you know, pull his lip from his teeth to try to ease the pain, but he can only do that but for so long. Eventually, he had to just allow himself to endure the pain and wait for the healing to take place. You know, but that's what it's like, you know, in these relationships that we have with one another. But again, you know, what is the solution? How do we get back to healing? You know, one of the things that Yahushua says, and this is the keynote, John 15:12 is, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then he says in 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And when you think about, you know, there's no secret, I tell you all the time, you know, I work with four brothers. Oh, I'm sorry, three. My math is bad. Three brothers and myself. I make the fourth brother, right? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Belteshazzar, Daniel, you know. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, you know, and Daniel. We down there in the lion's den, in the belly of the beast, you know. And we get together as often as we can, you know. One of the brothers, because of the nature of his work and department he works in, he's not always able to join us for lunch, but for the most part, you know, three of us eat lunch together every day, and sometimes we just sitting there, you know, joking, and, you know, my two brothers like to get on me and clown me. They were clowning me yesterday because, you know, I broke camp at the end of our lunch break because I got in a call because somebody, you know, I ordered some cake, and the brother called me and was like, hey, man, I got your cake. And I was like, okay, I got to go, brothers. They was like, everything all right? I was like, yeah, everything's all right. I got to go pick up some cake. And he was like, man, you breaking camp because you got to go pick up cake. I was like, well, lunch is over anyways, you know. I will get the cake from the dude. You know, and he was like, man, I can't believe I'm breaking camp to get cake. But lunch was over. I had to go, you know, pick up my cake. And, you know, lo and behold, one of the brothers that was joking me said, man, that cake tastes so good. He was like, it's got this nice aftertaste to it. You know, but he was joking me, clowning me, because I went to go pick up the cake that I ordered from the brother, right? But anyway, so we get together. Sometimes, you know, the conversations are jovial. We joking and just stuff. But then sometimes the conversations, we get into that word. And we try to get No, I'm not going to say we try to get Abba leads us sometimes into a really good and soul-gratifying, soul-satisfying conversation about that word. And this week, my brother, you know, posed a question. I sit between the light and the manifestation, right? Sitting between the two of them. And, you know, the light posed a question. And if I get it wrong, Aki, you can always text me and readjust my thinking or my memory on the question. And one of the questions was, is it better to have a companion or to be in a relationship, right? And I didn't give much thought to it. I was just like, a relationship, you know. And, you know, my other brother, the manifestation, you know, he gave some thought to it. And he's like, I got to think about this one for a little bit. And, you know, and of course the light was like, well, I'm going to say, of course, but the light was like, well, I think, you know, companionship. And I said, okay, well, why do you think that, bro? And he was like, because took it back to the garden and the fact that Yahweh made a companion for Adam, Eve, Kua, right? I was like, okay, cool. And then we got to building on that thought and, you know, and then we got to looking into, you know, the meaning of the word, the definition of companion versus relationship. And, you know, we went all the way back to the etymology of it, and I'm going to share that with y'all later on, but it was very, very interesting and timely as we start to enter into, you know, today is Rosh Chodesh, right? And we start to enter now, we're ticking closer towards the time that we enter into into Abba's holy season, right? And it's very interesting what we found out about these two words and what the actual original meaning of the word companion and relationship actually pointed back to. And hopefully you all will find it as interesting as we did as we sat there, you know, and we discussed this, you know, because we're 2 to 3 moon cycles from the new year and 2 to 3 moon cycles plus 14 days from, excuse me, still suffering with this long thing that's going on here, from the Pesach, right? You know, and one of the things that, yes, you know, I remember Gershon McDaniel telling us, you know, the Pesach is a love feast, but Pesach is also a season of judgment. And we'll get into that also, you know, as the lesson progresses. But the Pesach, you know, we always look to Yom Kippur as the day of judgment. And Yom HaKippurim is that. It's the day of covering. It's the day of Abba covering you for your sins. But when you look at the Passover, and if you think into the events of the Passover, it's a time of judgment. You say, well, how can you say that, Abba? I'm going to skip ahead, since I did skip ahead in my lesson. When you read in Exodus 12 through 15, and let's take a look at that real quick since I done ran my mouth too much already. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. This is Shemot 12, Exodus 12, 12, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. So when you look at the Pesach and all the events surrounding Passover, the Pesach, that was a time of judgment. That was a time when you either were going to live to see another day and to witness the salvation of Yahweh, or you were going to perish. And as he said, all the firstborn, not just of human beings, but also the cattle, the animals, the beasts, the sheep, the goats, the pigeons, and all manners of creatures that were the firstborn, the first to break the matrix of its mother to come through the womb, were all going to perish. The night before the Pesach was the last night of getting right with Yahweh, getting right with your salvation, getting right to make it to the other side. If that blood wasn't covering you and your household that night, you were done for. And when you look into the Apocrypha of how gloomy and how dark that night was, where it says it was a darkness they could feel. And when you think about the, see, Abba gives us examples in the Torah for us to understand when he says, and even like when, I believe my brother mentioned last night, even when Yahushua came on the scene and said that he had to go back and go through the scriptures and open up all the scriptures that pointed exactly to him. So there's always an example of what will take place in prophecy in the New Testament, the Brit HaKadosh, right? And he said there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, what do you think took place? See, when you look at Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments, and after that night, you think, you have you ever heard people of color mourn? We don't just cry, boo-hoo. we don't do that. We wail. Ah! Soul-wrenching, gut-wrenching. Trust me, we see it all the time where we work at. When they find out a loved one passed, or they find out a loved one is not going to make it, you hear the wailing, the shrieking, the gnashing of teeth when they find out they will never, ever again see the one that they love. It is not a pretty sight. But imagine being in that situation. My brother taught not too long ago on forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness, of letting go of a brother or sister's transgression. Do you know the word likens that unforgiveness unto death and being in league with the devil? That when we hold on to things ought against a brother, against a sister, against a member of the house of Yisrael, something that we just keep holding on to and don't let go, do we know that we become the seed of the adversary? We had a discussion about that at the table. We have the real table talk. And we discussed that at the table. How, see, we think that, you know, when Yahushua says, "Have I not done many great things in the name, and depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you," that he's just talking to people outside of the house of Israel. No, he's talking to the house of Israel. And when he says, "Depart from me, ye work of iniquity, I never knew," that, if he gave us a commandment that says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you," and we fall short in that, do we understand that he will tell you, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you"? Because if that's a commandment and we fall short, guess what? That's iniquity. The warrior king says, "Seek peace and pursue it." We're talking about the man who was arguably, and I'm not even going to say arguably, on the record in scriptures, the most prolific and bloodthirsty warrior in all of Yisrael, King David, said in the Psalms, "Seek peace." And when he says seek peace, hunt for peace and pursue it. Don't let peace, shalom, get out of your sight. This is what he says in his word, because it's important. And as we start to move towards that Pesach season, now is the time to start searching for leaven. Don't wait till the night before. Now is the time to start searching your soul for those crumbs of leaven within them, within it rather. Now is the time. Well, always is the time. But again, that Passover, Pesach, as we were once told, it's a love feast. And we were told, those of us who have been here for a little bit of while, know that we were told that if you ain't keeping it right, if you have anything in your heart towards a brother and a sister, your sacrifice ain't accepted. One of the things Yahushua said, before you come and you bring anything to the temple for a sacrifice for sin, you go and make shalom with a brother, shalom with a sister. Otherwise, your sacrifice, you're just wasting your sacrifice because it's not going to be accepted. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And again, no greater love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we think, oh, I'm going to jump in front of the bullet. Don't kill my brother. No. What else are you willing to cut out of your life for the sake of being one, shalom, echad, with a brother, with a sister, with your spouse, with your child? Again, Matthew 18, starting at 21. And forgive me, y'all. I've been suffering with this thing now for months. Just that, I don't know, some, they said there's something else going on out around here outside of COVID, outside of RSV, outside of the flu, and whatever it is, I got it. I can't get rid. I've had this thing now for months. Since, matter of fact, since the last time I taught, I've had this thing going on inside my head. I done took everything, herbals, all the stuff, and it just won't go. Matthew 18, 21 says, Then came Peter to him and said, Master, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And think about the spirit and the emotion, the context of what Peter's asking. Peter's like, and you know, Peter was the one who was the dude, the man's man among the disciples, among the apostles. He was that dude, the roughneck, right? And he's like, oh, you know, Peter comes from, and when you start thinking about what Peter's trade was as a seaman, a fisherman, you know, those were considered the tough guys nowadays. If y'all ever watch the shows, those shows where the guys go out into, matter of fact, my brother been sending, been sending videos of these men on these ships at sea. And man, let me tell you something. I see why those men back in the day were considered to be the toughest and the bravest. Man, he's showing me these videos where these men are in these huge vessels and these 30-foot waves are coming over and crashing onto the ship. And I mean, you see the ship, the bow of the ship sinking underwater and coming back up. Man, that takes heart. So when you think about Peter being somebody that's going out into the ocean, catching, you know, full nets of fish, he wasn't no soft dude. So when he's asking this question, Peter's that type, like, I'm a snap and pop. I ain't the type to go around forgiving people. So how often do I have to forgive somebody? This man owes me some money for my fish. And he was like, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Yahushua said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And when you do the geometry on, matter of fact, when you have the opportunity, do a geometry on 70 times seven and what number you come up with and where it leads you. Because Yahushua said that specifically for a reason, speaking to a fellow Hebrew that has an understanding of the alpha numeric mnemonic value of numbers as well as the Hebrew alphabet. So when he says to him 70 times 7, he's giving him a specific number to look at in the Torah and all the words and that equate to that same number. When you get an opportunity, just look at it. And he says, back to 18:22, Yahushua said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven times. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And when you think about 10,000 talents, that's a lot of money in that day. When you're talking about 10,000 talents, it ain't like $10,000. Still would be a good amount of money. Do we know that people kill people for owing them this type of money? And this is why Yahushua is even mentioning this sum of money to them. When you see all these people doing what they're doing out in these streets, oftentimes, sometimes it's for revenge, but sometimes it's for money. I worked with a brother who found himself in a situation where he thought he was going to cross into that realm, put some money in that realm. He ended up losing what product was given to him. And he fretted every day. He tried to make recompense with the dude every day because he knew that large sum of money that he ended up owing that man because he misplaced the product that he provided for him, his life was in the balance. Because if he can't pay, if he can't pay what he owes as far as monetarily, then there's no use for him in that guy's eyes. But for as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. Y'all ever been in collections? As a matter of fact, another situation I'm going through with a brother on the job, the IRS after him. Thankfully, if it's not for a super large amount of money, but I'm trying to help him settle his debt with the IRS quick before he has no money in his check. Because the IRS don't play. They don't pity. They don't care. Ask a lot of these celebrities who thought they could dip, duck, and dodge the IRS. They said Red Fox died penniless because he wasn't paying his taxes. It's one thing the government going to collect is their money. So again, it says 1825, but for as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had and payment to be made. So think about how things were back in the day. Not only did they collect the debt from him, see, I'm going to sell your wife and your children, his whole household. 1826. What could be worse? Think about if you're a husband and you got children. Imagine being placed in that situation. 1826. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. 1827. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, not a lot of money. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee these pennies on the dollar. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his master, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst of me. Should not you also have done compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Think about all the sins we commit daily that we go to our heavenly Father for in the name of Yahushua, begging, pleading for forgiveness, begging, pleading for him to hear us, begging, pleading for him to not punish us. But yet and still, we want to hold on to these infractions that have been committed against us. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because of pride, ego, and selfishness. All the things that are the attributes of Satan is why we don't. 1834, and his master was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Who are the tormentors? Till he should pay all that was due unto him. It's like what my brother talked about last night. See, when them fiery serpents come upon us in our life, and we start to wonder, well, why? And who are the fiery serpents are representative of? None other than Satan, the fallen angels, and the demons themselves. And when they start coming at us with these fiery darts and we're wondering, why am I going through this? Why has this happened to me? Why am I suffering? Why? Because his master, who we know who that's talking about, got upset with you and delivered you unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So you're not going to suffer forever, but you are if you choose to hold on to malice and unlove towards a brother or sister. He's going to have you pay for it because you refuse. So what he has to do, he got to humble you. Until you have paid your, isn't it easy to just pay what you owe in forgiveness to a brother right up instead of going through all that suffering? 1835, he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So you don't forgive? Obviously, I got to find a way. You got to pay one way or another. If you're not going to pay up through forgiveness, then you got to pay up through suffering. Simple as that. That's what the word says. Luke 17, chapter 17, verses 3 and verses 4. He says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. He says, rebuke him. Go tell him to his face. Rebuke him. Have a conversation with him. Yo, you offended me. Yo, you hurt my feelings. Yo, why did you say that? What you was talking about when you made that comment? He doesn't say just let it slide. He didn't say that. He didn't say sit and stew in it. He didn't say ruminate. He didn't say keep going over it in your mind and in your heart the same way you're supposed to do with the Torah. And the first thing he says, take heed to yourselves. Be watchful. Matter of fact, what does it mean to take heed? Let's look at this word. It's a Greek 4337. Prosecco. Prosecco, right? To bring near, to bring a ship to land, and simply to touch at, put in, to turn the mind, to attend, to be attentive. So he says, be attentive to yourself. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent. Thou shalt forgive them. But that's too hard to do, isn't it? Because now you're showing softness. Now you're showing weakness. Now you're showing that you're a pushover. You're one to be played with. He ain't taking you seriously. I'm going through a situation now where I've asked for something again and again and again and again. But I don't get mad. I don't. Matter of fact, even when I made the request, I got a rebuke. And in my mind, I was like, wow, for real? But I laughed it off in my mind and in my heart because you know what? At the end of the day, is it worth the relationship going in a different direction? No, it's not, because it's going to get done. I can guarantee it will be done. But trust me, at the end of the day, it's like, wow. You know, like, I would think if I ask this and it's not anything unreasonable, protect me the same way I've been protecting you. But it is what it is. At the end of the day, love has to prevail. Does it mean that it hurts any the less? No, it doesn't hurt any less. But what's more important? Because again, if I request that it be done and it don't get done, I do what I gotta do. It's as simple as that. But at the end of the day, no, don't make the relationship sour. Because what's more important at the end of the day? Love. Forgiveness. Keeping a relationship with a brother or a sister intact. Even if you got to put duct tape on it, some scotch tape on it, gorilla glue, like my brother taught, seal up the cracks. And that lesson was taught, I want to say maybe 2016, that cracks needed to be sealed up in the pillars. A house divided against itself cannot stand. But think about, he says Satan ain't going to be divided against himself, but yet and still, believers are divided amongst themselves. And something that my man Brad Scott, man, I'm so sorry the man is gone, one of my favorite teachers said, it's not the darkness that is more powerful, but it's the ineffectiveness of the light that allows the darkness to seem like it's more powerful. Because those who pertain, who contain the light within them, don't allow the light to shine in its full power. Back to Brother Lucas, chapter 7, starting at verse 36, right? And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Yahushua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him. And just imagine this scene now, family. Just imagine this scene now. And I love Lucas because he wasn't there. He didn't have firsthand accounts, but he did his investigation and made sure that we had a sure testimony for us to have examples of how to properly live in the presence of one another. And if we believe that his presence is always amongst us, how we shouldn't treat him, right? He said, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. You think she's just there? For those of us who cry, not everybody does, but for those of us, I'm being one, I'm a crier, a weeper, right? A proud crier, a proud weeper. If David can cry, I can cry. If Yahushua can cry, I sure enough can cry. I mean, Gershom Bendan used to say, why did he give us tear ducts? If we ain't supposed to cry. He ain't supposed to cry. Now, don't be a crybaby, of course. But if that's your methodology, by all means. But imagine now how much tears she has to be shedding to have enough to wash his feet with tears. And if you've ever watched in areas of the world where they still walk around with sandals and you look at the state of their feet, they're dirty. Extremely dirty. She is going to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. Now think about that now, sisters. Your hair is something you take extreme care of. You take tremendous pains in making sure that it's conditioned. It's washed thoroughly. It's conditioned. And it looks acceptable to you. And maybe sometimes your significant other, right? She is taking the hairs of her head and she is wiping away his dirty, dusty, walked on all day feet with. And then kissed his feet and anointed them. 7:39. And when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw, he within himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. You see, what's getting exposed is, if you've been following current events and that tunnel that they came across, you know the type of people that these Pharisees were very like unto the day. And in his mind, he's like, ew, does he know what that woman do? Does he know what that woman is involved in? Ew, she filthy, she nasty, she dirty. And he gonna let her touch him? Oh, he definitely ain't a prophet. He ain't a man of God. He don't have the seed of God in him. He don't have the seed of the word in him. Because he would not let that filthy woman touch him. That's the scorn that he's looking at this woman with as she's weeping. Tears. Wiping his feet with her hair. And then taking the time to nourish his feet with some ointment and anointing them. 7:40, and Yahushua answered and said unto him, Shimon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one who owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had paid, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Shimon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Shimon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. You didn't greet me. But this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. Like that picture that was sent last night to y'all. You anoint that head. He didn't show that fatherly love to him when he came in his house. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved me much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. See, sometimes we get high sedity. We get on our high horse. See, we get righteous. Stuck our noses up in the air at those who trespass against us. Those who we look down from our nose on brothers and sisters for the wrong that they have done and done towards us. But see, when you messed up, you goofed up, and you did wrong, and you still struggle to forgive yourself for the errors and the vices that you have, and you pour out your heart to the master. See, sometimes we forget the sins we commit and the trespasses we have. And we think that, oh, because I do this, that, and the third, as my Zacchaeus says, and yada, 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 this, that, and the third. We get up on our high horse and we start to look down upon others from underneath our noses. Because oh, we're so righteous and we keep the talk, we do this and we do that. And we forget that we sin and that our sins at time need to be forgiven. Back to 747. He said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. He ain't denying the fact that this woman had a lot of sins. He said, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So I work with a lot of people that have been through some challenges in their life. And I love them. I love it, man. They are some of the most dedicated people. Because once their mind have changed and their hearts repent, they appreciate the opportunity that is presented before them. And there's no greater joy than to see a person who has done some of the worst things in their life turn around and try to make it right with the rest of the life that Abba has blessed them with. But what happens is we forget our past. We forget the things that we've done because some of them have been so long ago, or at least the major things, that we forget what it feels like to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, which is the one thing that Abba loves. He loves that broke, and this is that example, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These the mighty one does not despise. He don't despise that at all. But what he does despise is a haughty spirit, pride and arrogance. 748, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Be at shalom, my sister. See, we forget the debts that we owe sometimes. We forget sometimes that our debts are still on the record. And that except for the blood of Yahushua striking through that ledger, that line that says we owe a debt, that he strikes through with his blood, sometimes we forget that. That we were once, our sins were once on that ledger. And if it wasn't for his blood striking it through and saying debt settled, zero balance, that we would still owe a tremendous debt. One that we might not ever be able to repay. That's why he says, 6:12, Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts in the same manner we choose to forgive our debtors, like what we just read about in Lucas, right? And he says in 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. 6:15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you understand how this thing works? Do you? Forgive me for the background. Do you really understand how this works? There's a reciprocity system here. He understands our plight. He knows we are shaped in sin and formed in iniquity. It's in our nature to transgress. But, and that's a big but, the Torah holds within the antidote to our nature. Listen to what Paul says. Romans 7:21, family. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me, with me. For I delight in the Torah of Yah after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this, the body of this death? I thank Yah through Yahushua HaMashiach, our master. So then with the mind, I myself serve the Torah of Yahweh, Torah of sin. Psalms 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We in a hopeless state before the master. Hopeless, totally hopeless. We are born in this condition, a condition in which, yes, keeping the most difficult thing to do in anyone's lifetime, and I mean this with all sincerity, is to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. It ain't easy. Those of us who are trying our best to keep the Torah know it is not easy. Just the feast days alone is difficult, let alone. And I'm not talking about the ceremonial things, the these and the that. I'm talking about the relationship things, how difficult those things are to do based on the Torah. Because when Yahushua said, this commandment I give you, that's Torah. That is Torah. Yeah, what Moshe said is Torah. But that, what Yahushua HaMashiach said out his mouth, that is Torah. That sums it all up. Psalm 25:18, he says, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Psalm 86:5, for thou, Master Yahweh, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. We are called to do the same thing. To and for one another. Psalms 119, 105, and 106. Noon, the seed. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Well, check this out. His righteous judgment is to love your brother, to love your sister. 1 Corinthians 13. See, this is what we don't. Wait a minute, Sean. This is what we don't want to be, right? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, let my brother talk about, that last week. We speak English, but we also have a familiarity with the Hebrew language, right? Which is the tongue of angels. Remember when Paul was encountered on the way by an angelic entity, and it said it spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue. It could have spoke to him in any other language that Paul spoke because he was multilingual. But he spoke to him specifically in the Hebrew tongue, the angelic tongue. He says, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Y'all ever see the satellite live script where my man is hitting the cowbell? More cowbell. Dunk, 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 dunk. You don't want to be that dunk, 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 dunk. Because the whole point of the skit was the cowbell was annoying. The band was jamming, the guitarist, the bassist, the drummer, and here he comes in with the cowbell. Dunk, 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 dunk. I think what we need is more cowbell. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be the eyeball in the band. 13:2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I can talk to you about what I learned about the heavens and the ether and the astral plane. I can get down with the Hebrew, with the geometry. I can talk to you about all this deep stuff. I mean, when I say deep, like Jacques Cousteau, deep. Get into the depths, deep. I know that sword, man. I'm giving you stuff that's going to break your mind. You're gifted with prophecy. You understand all mysteries. And all you're getting all this knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he says, what? I'm double art. I'm a zero, zero. I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profits me nothing. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envy not. Charity vaunteth not. Let me read it from another version. Let me read it from the Common English Version so I don't lose myself with all these these and thous. Love is kind and patient. I'm in the CEV. Never jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Love isn't selfish or quick-tempered. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do. Love rejoices in the truth, but not in evil. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. Love never fails. Everyone who prophesies will stop, and unknown languages will no longer be spoken. All that we know will be forgotten. We don't know everything, and our prophecies are not complete. But what is perfect will someday appear, and what isn't perfect will then disappear. When we were children, we thought and reasoned as children do. But when we grew up, we quit our childish ways. He's equating to you holding on to all of that foolishness as being childish. He hurt my feelings. He did me wrong. He did me dirty. And what you see, and you know me and my brother have love conversating with my brother. He talks about being irresponsible with your emotions. See, that's what he really focuses on. That's his thing. That's his forte. I learned a lot from the brother because he's been through a lot, goes through a lot, is going through a lot. See, me, that's always been my issue. I get volatile. I get explosive. Fangs in somebody, and I just unleash all that venom. Very irresponsible with my emotions. Hold a grudge. Want my get back if you get me wrong. Thankfully, I had an emotional intelligence coach who helped me learn to get through many of my triggers and helped me understand how to walk myself through when I feel that tightness in my chest and all these thoughts of doing wrong to others and saying wrong to others start to swirl through my mind, how to walk through it so that I don't do something stupid or say something stupid or become something stupid. Because oftentimes what happens is we may grow up physically, but sometimes we don't grow up mentally and emotionally. Which is the harder thing to do, because your body's gonna grow naturally. You're gonna reach your maximum height and then it's done. But in between that time, how are you progressing mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, because they all go hand in hand. Your mentals affect your emotionals, and your mentals and emotionals affect your spirituals. 13:12. First Corinthians 13:12. Now all we can see of Yah is like a cloudy picture in a mirror. Later we will see him face to face. We don't know everything, but then we will, just as Yah completely understands us. For now, there are faith, hope, and love. But of these three, the greatest is love. L-O-V-E. Again, will you die for your brother? What won't Yahweh forgive? We have an example of that in scriptures also. I'm not necessarily going to go through it. My brother talked about some of it last night, right? Their lack of faith. See, they couldn't let go of the past. That was what our foreparents that came out of Egypt were guilty of. They would not let go of the past, their time in Egypt. They couldn't get over it. They were so conditioned mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. They couldn't get past their experience in Egypt. They just couldn't. And even after Yahweh showed them miracle after miracle, killing the firstborn, killing Pharaoh and his army in the waters, fire by night, cloud by day, parting the Red Sea, defeating all King of Bashan, all these, Shabbael talked one time about the path that he had to take them to protect them because they weren't mentally ready to be in any battle. He couldn't forgive their lack of faith in him. He couldn't forgive them not letting go of their past experience in Egypt. He said, y'all can't inherit the promised land. Y'all minds are messed up. I can't bring y'all into this new land. Just like we can't get a new place of worship till we get over the past things that we have gone through. It ain't gonna happen until we heal. It's a pipe dream. Got to get past the past in order to get a better future. New wine in that old wineskin is going to ruin it. Because remember, it is always supposed to be. It started as Philadelphia Baptist Church, Brotherly Love Baptist Church, those who have been baptized in brotherly love. So even though now it's Beth Yahweh congregation, we were always told it's going to be, must be, has to be a house of love. And you can try to travel wherever you want. But if you take that, you take those remnants with you wherever you go until you resolve it. Where can you go from his sight? He loves you, so his eye is always going to be on you wherever you go. He says, while we were yet sinners, see, we owed him a debt from the time we are born. We are indebted. All we're doing up until the time we meet Yahushua HaMashiach, and we submit ourselves to his life, we're just accumulating debt. We are just racking up charges, as they say. We are just racking up charges, charge after charge after charge after charge after charge, right? But here's what Paul says in Romans. He says, but Yah commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Mashiach died for us. Do you understand that? For us who are on the other side of his death. For us who are on the other side of his death, that he had done it. before we came into existence. He gave us hope before we came into this hopeless state. But Yah commended his love, back to 5:8, his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Mashiach died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were enemies to him, we were an affront to him in our life, and we forget that sometimes. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yah by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Last group of scriptures coming up, family. We got to get this right, family. We got to get it right. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 7, going 7 through 14. My friends, I am not writing to give you a new commandment. It is the same one that you were first given, and it is the message you heard. But it really is a new commandment, and you know its true meaning, and I'm reading from the CEV again, just as the Mashiach does. You can see the darkness fading away and the true light already shining. If we claim to be in the light and hate someone, and right there is where sometimes I have an issue with translation, because he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even, I went back to the King James Version, is in darkness even until now. Don't think hate as being, oh, I just want this person to die, hate. But if it is that serious, then there's a problem. He that saith, back to 2:9, he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, for your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of Yah abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of Yah abideth forever. I had somebody tell me, we were talking about relationships, and they had just broken up with somebody, right? Said how they were so done with relationships, which is understandable if you go through that, right? But then they said they learn how to effectively navigate relationships from these unreality shows. That they've gotten all of their relationship advice from what they've gleaned from watching these unreality relationship shows. Well, this is why the relationship failed. Because they don't realize that all these unreality shows are all scripted and a bunch of actors and actresses. And they're doing a bunch of actressing. They ain't real. Oftentimes, all they can teach you is dysfunction in a relationship, not how to function properly in a relationship. The most foolish place. Like, talk to one of the brothers on the job all the time, because person who is unmarried is always getting on him about his dedication to his wife and how he his wife call and his wife say jump, he say ha ha, all this sort of stuff. And I told him, I said, man, the worst mistake I made in my life was listening to unhappily married people and single people. Never take relationship advice from unhappy single people. What are they going to teach you about being happy in a relationship if they're unhappy? If they're disgruntled about relationships between male and females? If all they have to say is negative stuff, that person ain't going to give you no sound advice. I don't care what you say. No, you're not. Because it's going to be biased and tainted. And unhappily married people. Find somebody who has been in a marriage where they have overcome struggle. Find people who are not stuck in the past about their past relationships and look towards a better day, a better relationship. Those are the people who you take advice from. Because anybody else will surely lead you astray. And I've experienced that personally, so don't tell me otherwise. No! You want advice for somebody who's looking forward to a healthy and loving relationship, even if they don't have one right now, or a couple who has been together for years and have been through struggle, trials, and tribulation and have made it through, because you know what? They understand suffering and sacrifice. And humility. Next chapter, 1 John 3:14, family. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. You are of the seed of Cain, who is Hasatan. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. We know how Yahweh feels about murderers. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of Yah, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath the world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Yah in him? And he ain't just talking about physical goods, physical needs. What about the brother's emotional, mental, and spiritual? Because if you don't rebuke him, if you don't talk to him about what he did to offend you, how are you going to help him? You are in part responsible for healing his soul as well. They say if you don't correct, you condone. So if you're not correcting, you are condoning the behavior. If you ain't following the playbook, you are in error also. John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Yah is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards the Mighty One, towards Yah? Sorry, y'all. Sometimes I get so congested, it's right there. I can't talk. Forgive me. Beloved, if our heart, back to 21, condemn us not, then we have confidence towards Yah. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if you're sending up prayers, right, going back to what Yahushua said, if you got aught with your brother, before you bring your sacrifice to the altar, go make things right with your brother, because he ain't going to accept that sacrifice. He's not going to accept their sacrifice of praise. He ain't going to accept your prayers. He ain't going to do none of that. Okay? And whatsoever we seek, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Yahushua HaMashiach, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yah. And everyone that loveth is born of Yah and knoweth Yah. He that loveth not knoweth not Yah, for Yah is love. And this was manifested, the love of Yah, towards us, because that Yah sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved Yah, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if Yah so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen Yah at any time. If we love one another, Yah dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. By what? Showing love and forgiveness. Whosoever shall confess that Yahushua is the Son of Yah, Yah dwelleth in him, and he in Yah. And we have known and believeth the love that Yah hath to us. Yah is love. And he dwelleth in love in Yah, and Yah in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if you're afraid to talk to a brother or a sister about a situation, then guess what? Sometimes you just got to take a big gulp, take a deep breath, and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. We got the playbook. If you got an issue with the basic, and treat such a one with the spirit of meekness. Don't go at him like, I had a dude do that to me. Hey, man, not a brother, dude on the job. Hey, man, I got to talk to you, man, pointing all in my face. I wasn't going to receive that. Yo, back up off me, sir. Let's rewind this. Let's redo this. Let's take this from another angle. You coming off me, you barking. We ain't going to talk like that. Oh, bro, I'm sorry. It's okay, brother. Now, let's reset. What did I do? What did I do to upset you? Now, there was a time I had to get a sharp rebuke from a brother because I was in error. My brother withstood me to my face, pointing his finger all up on me, because I was wrong in what I was doing. I was neglectful. And he had no qualms, not a one. As soon as he seen me, straight out the gate, I got to talk to you about something, man. Come here. Yeah, what's up? What's going on? Man, what you doing is wrong, man. You know da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He didn't care that I was a little bit bigger than him. But he came at me with the boldness that it took to get me right. I told y'all I had two greatest comments that came to me. One, grow up. Grow up. The other one, forgive yourself. Words I needed to hear. Grow up. Stop acting like a little child with your emotions. You put yourself in this situation. What you mad about? You put your situation. It's okay now. Forgive yourself, Aki. Pick yourself up off the ground. Pick yourself up off that mud, man. Pigs wallow in the mud. Get up. Again, 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is made perfect, is not made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first, just like that sister with her hair and her tears. She knew what that man was. She knew who he was. She understood who he was. And once she understood and knew who he was, she humbled herself, kissed his feet. Imagine the thoughts. Imagine yourself kissing somebody's feet. If a man say, I love Yah and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love Yah whom he hath not seen? It's impossible. It is impossible. You're a liar. Your walk is a lie. Your testimony is a lie. Your life is a lie. That's what the word says. 4:21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth Yah love his brother also. This is my commandment. Back to John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, I didn't forget. We're going to look at these two words, and then Ahab El is out. At least until next week. So I'm going to etymology explore, right? Oh, no. I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to use your free version, sir. And I'm going to look up the word companion, right? And I found this word to be so interesting once you see the etymology of it, right? Hey, nope, I may have to go to a different one. Yeah, oh, no. Yeah, see. Come on. I'm going to Etymology Online instead, family, if you got it. If you got it, roll with a brother. All right. So I'm looking up the word because I think that's what we used when we were looking at this word, right? Companion, from 1300, one who accompanies or associates with another, from Old English, compagnon, fellow mate, friend, partner, from late Latin, companion, right? Nominative. Now, I've been studying some Spanish, so when this word came to me, I was like, oh, snap, because in Spanish, pan, right? Because this is a compound word, companion, right? So, com, which in Spanish is con, which is with or together, and pan, which is bread, means together bread, right? So, literally, bread fellow, messmate, from Latin com, which means together, panis, bread, from the P-I-E root, pa, to feed, right? Pay. So we see some Hebrew in there, right? Pay the mouth, right? The late Latin word is found from 6 C, Francus Lexilica, and probably it is a translation from some Germanic word, compare Gothic, Galliab, whatever that means. Messmate, Halliab, the loaf of bread, right? So think about the term we use about breaking bread with one another, right? But what is the time of year when we break bread, family? When we truly break bread? Well, the first time we break bread, as far as the holy days are concerned, is what? We come together over the unleavened bread. Right? Then we come together on Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, where we come together with the two loaves and then eat the leavened bread. So see, in being a companion with somebody, y'all break bread with one another. Isn't that what he did with us? Isn't that what he does with us? Yay! I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever opens up, I'm going to come in and I'm going to break bread with you. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to eat that good bread. You got some collard? Y'all remember back in the day, I know Brother Baruch, if you on, you my witness, how good that collard bread was back in the day. We had that collard bread in that back room and somebody put some butter on it, honey on it. A Brother Mikhail would bring the good, zesty cheddar cheese. Boy, we couldn't get enough. Everybody would bring the extra loaf of collard bread. And we know them sisters back in the day used to hook that collard bread from 7 Mile Lane up, made sure it was nice and crispy on the top, take a whole stick of butter and just soak it in that bad boy. And if you managed to save a loaf from Shabbat meal, you brought that loaf down to service at 847 Collington, and we would tear it up, whether you sliced it up or broke it apart with your hand. Oh, my God, that boy was so good. Like I said, with some butter, some honey, some cheese, and some wine. But that's what companionship is about, coming together and breaking bread with one another. That's how we get back to being companions. That's how we bridge the gaps. Get back to these love feasts with one another. Because there's a special spirit in the Shabbat. When you break that bread, there's a special spirit. He said, you're not supposed to come and keep the Passover just to get a meal. You're supposed to understand the love that's in that feast for the one who died for you, that lamb that was sacrificed for you. Now let's look at relationship. If I could spell the relationship, all right. Sense or state of being related by kindred affinity or other alliance, from relationship, specifically of romantic, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to go into all of that, okay? So, because we want to keep it G-rated. Right? Relation, we're going to, and I'm still in, what am I? Etymology. Relation, relationship, connecting, correspondence, active telling or relating word, from the Anglo-French, relation, Old French, relation, report, connection, and directly from the Latin relationem, normative relatio, a bringing back, restoring, a report, proposition, from relator, see relate, the meaning, person related by blood or marriage is attested from, by blood or marriage. The person related by blood or marriage is attested from 1500. The phrase, no relation, not Uncle Ruckus, no relations, from the same family, right? But I got to get to this part. Where is it? Come on, y'all. Y'all treat me greasy right now. Oh, man. Hold on. Let me try relate. Because this word was awesome too. Oh, poop. 1520, to recount, tell from the French relator, refer, report, and directly from the Latin relatus, used as a past participle of refer, bring back, beer back, see refer, from re, back again, lattice, born, carried, right? So when you look at the report, what do we do during the Passover? We report, we relate the account of the Passover, right? But there was one word that I was really here it is. Okay, so this word actually relate goes back to this word refer, right? From late 14th to refer and to trace back a quality, et cetera, to a first cause of origin, attribute assigned from the Old French referer and directly from the Latin referer, to relate, refer, literally to carry back, from re back, see, to refer, to carry or to bear, right? as in to carry or to bear children, but also to carry or to bear someone's burdens, to carry or to bear someone up. I don't know why I can't, I forgot, I must not have looked that word up in this, because when we were together, one of the words was to carry or to bear someone else's burden, was part of being in a relationship with somebody, that you carry their burden. You bear their burden as well. Isn't that what happened when Yahushua took up the stake for us? And then not just that, Shimon ended up taking up the stake for him. So I hope I didn't lose anyone in that. But when you're in a relationship with somebody, part of being in that relationship is bearing the other person's burdens, bearing along with them, carrying with them. So even though, you know, one brother chose one and one brother may have chosen the other, at the end of the day, they're both great, great ways to understand what we are called to be. We're called to be companions of one another. We're also called to be in a relationship with one another. And as the scriptures say, bear the infirmities of the weak. Sometimes a brother or sister can't help themselves in a situation. But there's nothing wrong with checking them on how they've done wrong to you. If they've hurt you, if they've spoke to you in any ill manner, check them. And if they don't receive you checking them for that way, then guess what? Give them over to Yah and let Yah deal with them. Because I can tell you what, he can give a better honey whooping than anybody can. Trust me. I know. So, family, that is it. That was the last of my lesson for today, week one. And now it's time to close out. So I pray that if you have any questions or comments, if there was anything that I said that you found offensive or upsetting, please, I say this all the time, call your brother Ahaba. I would love to talk to you. I would love to hear from you. I would love for us to conversate. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, Abba Yah. I pray, Father, that you are with us all continually this day, Father. I pray that your spirit of shalom, your spirit of love, your spirit of righteousness dwell upon us, Father. And, Father, I ask that you lift us all up, bring us back together, Father. And if there's any rift, any difference, any distance, any difference, any crack within us, Father, please, Father, help us heal it. Give us, Father, the strength that we need to be the family that you desire us to be in your Son. Help us not hold back love. Help us not subdue your spirit. Help us, Father, to find that shalom once again, to find that heart that we have for one another once again, to be the light that you called us to be in this world, to show forth this world that people can truly love one another, that are not from the same family, that don't necessarily have the same quote-unquote blood mother and blood father, who are of different households, different states, different families, but are all tied together by your Son's blood. We ask you, Father, give us that humility, to give us that strength to be a loving, happily family and Yah. These things I ask, I beg of you, B'Shem Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, who gave us the commandment to love one another, who shed his blood and gave up his life for us while we were still yet sinners, when we were undeserving. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.